What's going on, America? This episode of the Dear America podcast is brought to you by my friends at BlackRifleCoffee.com. Stop drinking communist coffee. I don't care. Stop. Stop it. Stop right now. Drink America's coffee, and that is Black Rifle Coffee. They give millions of dollars every single year to veterans. They give millions of dollars every single year to veteran charities, including the Dear America Foundation. They employ thousands of veterans across the world and everything you can possibly imagine. And their coffee actually is really good because it is America's coffee. So stop drinking communist coffee. Drink America's coffee. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com right now.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
All right, what's going on, America? Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. John Cooper, is in the house today. John, thanks for being here, man. I appreciate it. In person. We get to do it in person again.
I love it. I love it. And you got the applause for me, which I appreciate.
I know.
There's I don't go anywhere.
There's a live audience here, if you didn't notice.
Yeah, thousands of people here to see our show today.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone cares.
We are live from the sawmill out in the middle of nowhere, South Carolina.
Literally middle of nowhere.
We are here at our charity event supporting our veterans and our first responders. Man, thank you so much for not only being on the show, but just being here and supporting this. Man, you have such a love for our veterans, our first responders, our police, our firefighters, our EMS and everything. Just real quick, I mean, just, you know, any words of encouragement for especially our cops right now and everything that they're doing before we get into the episode today?
Yeah. Well, it's great to be here. I appreciate you having me out. I got to embarrass myself on the range a little while
ago. No, I didn't do very good,
but it's fine.
You hit him a couple times. You hit the target a couple times at least.
I wasn't hearing near as much metal as I should have been. But, so anyway, I mean, absolutely. I can't imagine being a cop right now. I mean, it's just so discouraging. And, you know, I have a real love for people who lay their lives down on the line. And maybe without getting too, you know, deep or this early in the morning, maybe that comes from our shared belief, you and I, that there is no greater love than someone who lays his life down for his friends.
Absolutely.
That's, you know, of course, and that's what Jesus said. Maybe it comes from that. But when I see somebody that is willing, this is what blows me away. Not just willing to lay their life down for a friend, willing to lay their life down for an enemy.
Yeah.
And this is crazy. You don't have to love America or love the principles. In fact, you could hate America, hate the principles, and you're still going to find service members and first responders who lay their lives down for that.
Yep, get up every day.
That's next level.
Yeah,
and I think it takes a particular just grace to do that. So I'm very passionate about that. I'm also passionate about it because truthfully, I've met hundreds and hundreds of veterans and families of veterans that say people come through an autograph line at a skillet show and they'll have their phone on and they say, here's my husband. He's serving in, you know, fill in the blank country.
Yeah.
He wants to be here, but he can't, you know, and I just can't believe our music means this much to people. And I, and the last thing I'll say about it, again, not to get too heavy, but because I've met a lot of people like this, I've heard their stories and a lot of the PTSD, a lot of the depression, the suicide. I mean, we just played an Air Force tour.
And I remember that.
Went and did a great one. They said, hey, one of the guys said, this is a really important time. You guys are here. He said, within the last 2 weeks, we had two suicides on the base.
Yeah.
And it's just heartbreaking. And so I want to give back if I can.
Yeah.
So that's a long story, but I just want to say thank you to those. And it's, and again, it's the families as well. I mean, these people, the spouses, the kids, it's a family thing.
Yeah, it's everybody. I agree. And we not only love you guys and your family and everything that Skillet does, we appreciate you being here for this event and showing your support. You know, a lot of people can say it, but it's a whole other thing to go out of your way, which you did. You had to catch multiple flights. You got in super late last night. And you're just here, just to be here among our men and women who serve, and just to show that you care. And I think that's something. All right. Healthy Cell is the next generation of dietary supplements. If you take supplements in pill form now, honestly, it's time to change. Studies show that you don't absorb most of the nutrients in pills, not to mention they can be hard to swallow. And let's face it, vitamins you can't absorb are a waste of money. That's why doctors and nutritionists created Healthy Cell, a great tasting ingestible gel with 165%, yes, 165% more absorption than pills. Let me give you an example. Research has shown that distractions not only hurt productivity, but they can lead to higher stress and a bad mood, which means focus and concentration are shaping up to be the new superpowers of the 21st century professionals. In 2008, the average amount of concentrated time on a task without distraction was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. That's less attentiveness than a goldfish. This is true, by the way. Even in videos, they say that it used to be you had 30 seconds to capture attention. Now you've got like 7. Healthy Cell's micro gel ensures maximum absorption of exactly the sort of premium nutrients you need to help support focus, recall, mental speed, and rapid learning. If it's optimal brain performance you want, check out Healthy Cell. All you got to do is visit healthycell.com/ground. That's healthycell.com and use the code Graham for 20% off your first order. Go to healthycell.com/Graham now. Moving into the episode today, I want to take it a bit different direction than we normally do. This is, I've asked a lot of people, and we've taken the show not completely different direction, but a little bit, where we have one show that is our normal, like a wrap up of everything that's going on kind of thing. Another show is like a Q&A of me, but then the other show is more of a purpose of value, like something that people can go back and listen to over and over and over again as they walk through this life, trying to figure out their faith, or if they do have Christian beliefs, they're trying to live that. And then a lot of people are trying to find their purpose and leadership and all of this stuff. So I thought today, as a very successful person yourself and a very firm, strong believer as yourself, I thought that we would talk about those qualities and those things that you've learned and perhaps give the audience some real tangible things that they can take in their own lives. How does that sound?
I think it sounds great.
Is that pretty good?
Yeah.
John is secretly so thankful that I'm not going pure conspiracy theory on him in this episode.
I'm up for whatever, but I hope I say something worth listening to. We'll see.
I have no doubt that you will. All right. So first and foremost, okay.
Yeah.
As a Christian, as a father, as a husband, as a business, a successful business, I mean, you are a musician, but you're an entrepreneur, right? I mean, sure. That's an entrepreneurial venture to go into the music business and things. What's the best advice that's ever been given to you that you can give to the audience?
Well, you're right. Being in a band is a business venture.
Yep.
And if you want proof, all you got to do is look at the people who made millions and millions of dollars who are destitute now.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. They're like, what? I'm a musician living it up.
Yep. You're
like, dude, if I had made the money you had made, you know, this is why like Michael Jackson dies and he owes $20 million in taxes or something like that. You know, the king of pop.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's a business. So, yes. You know, best advice I've ever been given. I just want to say this real quick because when I do something like this, I talk so much about my faith, you know, you do too. I always want people to understand that if I'm talking about Christian principles, I believe those principles are for people, even if you're not Christian.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They're principles that will work in your life. And so, and you can put them to the test. I mean, it's funny. I remember the first time I heard Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
First time I heard him talking, we were thinking, that's a lot like what we believe.
Yeah.
That sounds a lot like the Protestant work ethic, as they call it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, these are just great principles. The best advice I've ever been given was to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you.
Yeah.
And of course that is from the Bible, but you can extrapolate a lot from that.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you really wanted to take a complete secular position, which I, of course I don't want to, but just some people listening may want.
For the sake of the, yeah,
doing
it.
They may want to do that. Then you take let's extrapolate something from this. What that means is, part of what it means is, serving something bigger outside of yourself. It's not all about you. It's not mm-hmm. all about the things you want.
Yeah.
And if you had everything that you think you want, if you made a list, here's my dreams, top 10 things I have. And if God or whatever you believe in, the universe gives it to you, you probably still wouldn't be happy if you're living for yourself.
Yeah.
So you can come to that same conclusion from a lot of different places. But I, of course, believe that the Bible is the word of God and it's the ultimate authority. So what God is saying is life is not all about you. It's not all about the mm-hmm. things that you want to do. And if you seek me and my righteousness, then the things that you want are going to begin to change.
Yeah.
And you can talk to any billionaire on the planet that has all the money in the world, and they would be like, yeah, in the end, it didn't actually make me happy until I started giving this money away.
Yeah.
They will all tell you the same mm-hmm. thing.
I think that's so powerful. It's not all about you. The one of the best things I love about God and how big God is you just, it's not all about you. You never know the interactions that you have by doing what you know God's telling you to do. Me and you have had this conversation the first time we met. I was a 15-year-old kid when I first met you, back before you grew your beard out, back in the original days, and you were the nicest person ever. And not only did I love Skillet's music, but then I met you and I was like, man, this guy's like the real deal. And I've told you very much, like you were talking about stories of veterans, I've told you this story going out the wire in Iraq. We listened to Skillet music, et cetera. And now, so many years later, here me and you are. We're great friends, or at least I consider us great friends. You may be like, Graham's just one of those people I got to deal with. And here we are able to talk about all this stuff and reach people that we have no idea who we may be mm-hmm. reaching through God, doing what we're doing so many years later. I think it's just so cool. Like, I think
that's awesome.
I think how me and you have become friends is just this cool thing, because it went from a chance interaction into, you know, what it is now. It just shows how big God is.
Absolutely.
Which leads us into our next part of all this stuff. So some of the biggest things that I get questions from people all the time is, how did you do it? How did you become successful? How, in, you know, in everybody's definition of success is different, but how did you have faith and know that this is what you were supposed to do, whether you sold no record sales, or you become this gigantic band that Skillet has for so many years. How did you know, and how did you have faith in your decision that this is what you were supposed to be doing?
Man, that's such a huge question.
I know it's a big question.
No, I mean, it's a great question. And it's also one of those things that you have 15 different answers for, and it all kind of comes together. I mean, I think one of the really important things, it's funny because it flows from the first question, doesn't it?
You know,
which is, if my life is not all about me, then there has to be some sort of foundation for meaning and for who I am and for why I want to do what I want to do. Now, Skillet started in the 90s.
Yeah.
And so the 90s was a very rebellious time.
Yep.
The 90s was very much a rebellion against what we would call, you know, materialism. You know, the 80s was like the yuppies, Trump before what we think of as Trump, the money, the this, it was like everybody needed the clothes, and it was just such excess. It was the 80s was just a All you gotta do is listen to the music, which you can kind of hear in the background.
Yeah.
So you listen to the music, you watch the movies. It was just, in the 90s, we were all like, all you people are telling us we're going to be happy if we have all the money in the world, and you're not happy. You're literally the, you know, I don't know if people know, the 80s had an incredibly high suicide rate.
Yep.
People were depressed. An incredibly high divorce rate.
Yeah.
You know, we look at the divorce rate in America now, and it's actually only approaching what it was actually in the 80s, which was a time of decadence. So the 90s was a rebellion against that. And so my life with God was going, okay, I don't want to fall in those traps.
Yeah.
I know the world doesn't have what it takes to actually fulfill me.
Yeah.
So what? How can I be used? Making music was fun.
Yeah.
Could I really make a living doing that? I don't really know if I could or not. So it was kind of a conversation of first things. So I would encourage people to no matter what you believe, decide what your first things are.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the original conversation, which is to seek first the kingdom of God. And so for me, if my first thing was to become a famous rock star,
right,
then you might end up doing things that you're not proud of to become that famous rock star. You sell your soul.
Yeah.
You go, well, I don't really want to do that, but I guess maybe I'll sing that song even though I don't really believe it. You know, that could be just selling out artistically, or it could be something deeper than that.
Yeah.
You know, you see these people go crazy. What we're living in, the celebrity culture is so insane.
Yeah.
A lot of times they're just, they need to keep themselves in the headlines.
Yeah.
So what do you do that? You have a breakdown and shave your head and go to a mental institution.
Yeah.
And you do something that you can do to keep yourself in the headlines. I'm not saying they're all doing it. Some of them have just gone crazy because you remember like Justin Bieber. Remember when Justin Bieber had all of his breakdowns? I mean, I'm thinking, why is he even breakdowns? He's worth like $200 million.
Yep.
There will never be anything in this life he can't have.
Yeah.
But it ain't enough.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was an issue of, I want to play music. I think my music could help people. My first thing is that I want to glorify God in that. It's not about me. It's not about money. But I do need to take care of myself.
Yeah, but you do have to pay the bills.
Pay the bills.
Times, yeah.
And so I'm going to do what I need to do to make that happen without selling a piece of my soul. And then something amazing happened that I never expected. And now it's time to preach. What I never expected was that God is actually faithful to his word.
Yeah.
And if you implement biblical principles, you will be blessed.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for God to say, I'm going to give you principles and you do all these principles, it's going to make your life a lot worse. That wouldn't make sense. He created a moral universe that is in line with his character.
Yeah.
And so when you do things that respond to his character, so I could tell people out there, last thing I'll say about it, I could just say this. Again, your business principles. If your number one goal is to get rich, no matter what, you may do business practices that you're not proud of. You may cheat your clients. It eventually will come to bite you in the butt.
Yeah.
You may have all the money, but it'll end up getting you in the end.
You probably will make money. And that's the thing that a lot of people don't. Some of the richest people I know are just the most backstabbing, just will sell their own mother for a profit, you know, and all this other kind of stuff. And it's weird. But those are some of the most miserable people in the entire world. And I think that's important because we've talked about that a lot, how, you know, everybody thinks the answers to their problems is, you know, monetary value. Right. Yeah. And you hit a very big point that I've actually talked about a lot because, I have not been successful for as long as you have. And so I would love to get your, perspective on this. It can be lonely and not what you think it was going to be at whatever your top is, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and like I said, success is relative to the person, right? So there's a lot of people who have, as you called it, been successful. They've hit that, whatever that thing is, and then they, you know, they've made some money and all this stuff, and then they get there, and then they realize there's nothing here. Like, you get to the top of that mountain, and you realize, I'm alone up here. Like, there's no one here, and I'm depressed, and I'm empty, and I shouldn't be empty, and I shouldn't be depressed. Did you ever have any moments where you got to a point where you were like, wow, this is... perhaps you didn't because you did it such a better way than a lot of people, but did you ever have moments where you were like, wow, outside of your wife, I have an amazing wife too. I'm talking about community wise. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have those moments where you felt kind of alone and you know, what did you do in those situations?
Yeah. No, what a great point. I actually wrote this little anecdote in my book, and it's from one of my best friends. He's a pastor, and check out this story. This is insane. He said he met this man. This man was an incredibly wealthy businessman, had it all. I mean, he's like his kids will never need money.
Right.
We're talking about money that me and you don't even understand.
Don't understand, yeah.
All right. So he had done it all. He came to Christ when he, in his, I think, 80s, 75, 76 years old, finally found what he was looking for in mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, and he begins giving money away. The first thing he does, he's giving money away.
Yeah, get rid of it, yeah.
And so my friend, who's a pastor, he sat down with him. He said, okay, you know, you're 77. I mean, you've done it all. What do you want to do with the time you have left? What's your mission now? And this elderly man said to him, he said, you know what? My mission is, he said, I've been to the top of the mountain. Everything the world said is at the top of the mountain. I made it. I got all the way up there. And he said, in whatever time I have left, my mission is to walk back down the mountain and scream to as many people that I can find who are clawing their way to the top, kicking and screaming and throwing other people down the mountain to get ahead, to tell every one of them, I've been to the top of the mountain and there is nothing there.
There's nothing up there.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
You're fighting to get to nowhere.
Yeah.
And so I wrote about this in my book because that basically is the story of the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. This is basically what Solomon's saying. Solomon's basically saying the most miserable person in the world is actually the richest person. He's the one that had it. There's nothing else to do. I've had all the women. I've had all the drugs. I've had all the, I've explored it to its fullest and it didn't give me what I wanted.
Yeah.
And that brings even more sadness.
And some people are even more miserable after they get those things than when they were trying so hard to achieve it.
Yes. Because you always have in your mind the hope of, when I get it, it's going to be awesome.
Be
yeah.
And then you do, and look, marriage is the same way.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be amazing. I find that one person, it's going to be great, you know, and me and you a second ago, Graham, we were walking up. People can't hear, but some of these old 80s songs were playing, which I love. But, you know, every 80s song is about basically, I'm going to be up all night having sex, just whipping her.
Yeah.
You know, and you're kind of like, that's not going to happen either. This is all a fantastical illusion.
Yeah.
It's never going to be what you think it's going to be because you've made a lie and it's an idol.
Yeah.
And so I would say to people, in 2010, Skillet was named the number 7th hardest working band of the year. We beat Lady Gaga. It's the only thing
we
ever beat
Lady
Gaga. I
didn't even know that was a category. That's amazing. Yeah.
Billboard every year. Billboard Music will release all the statistics. And it's just based on the shows you played, the miles you ran, the this and this.
Right.
And I tell people, 2012 is when I first said to somebody, dude, I do not remember 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did, by the way, I did no drugs. Okay?
Yeah. Just working. Yeah.
I worked so much. I don't remember it. I was doing the game. I got to get to the top. And it was just, I was just so busy and I never want to experience that again.
Yeah.
We made money. It was whatever it was. It wasn't that my heart was bad. I was just, you got to do what you got to do. And in the end, I'm like, I don't remember that year.
Yeah.
I wrote a song about it. You might know it. It's a song called One Day Too Late.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that song is about. So anybody go listen to that song, it's like, tick tock, hear the clock counts down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's about. You're saying your life is going. And do you remember your kids walking? Do you remember your kids talking? Do you remember your kids saying, Dad, will you read me a story?
It's so powerful, man. Go ahead.
I would say, and no amount of money is worth missing that stuff.
Well, we've had so many conversations, and I feel like I am at not near as successful as you have been, but I am dealing with that same thing that you dealt with back in 2010, where the past 6-7 years, man, I feel like I've aged 15 years from it. Because we've just been, you know, on this side of the country, and then we're over here, and then we're here, and then we're doing this, and we're filming this many shows all the time, and then we got to do this. Even now, you know, we're doing a charity event, but we got to film this show at the same time, and blah, blah, blah. And then I realized that, oh my goodness, my oldest son turns 12. He's in middle school this year. And, you know, and I know the audience has heard me say this a lot. I've got 3, maybe 4 years left before he's more concerned about girls and his friends. And, you know, I hope that he still cares what his dad has to say, but you know, I mean, there comes a point where, you know, they care more about what their peers think and stuff. And it just really hit me, all the baseball practices I've missed, all the things I got to, 2 weeks ago, there's a lot of people thinking like, what's the big deal with that, Grandpa? I got to watch my son pitch at his kid pitch game the other day. And I've missed so many of those things. And, you know, I truly believe that in the political side of what I was trying to do for so many years, I reached the top of what I was trying to do. I wanted to be one of the top 20 conservative voices in the country. And I feel like we hit that. We weren't number one. I'm not saying that, but you couldn't go through 20 people that were in this world and not have us in there. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I got there and I found myself, you know, to be truly vulnerable for a bit. I found myself on anxiety medication. I found myself just, the passion was gone. I found myself looking around like, who's really my friend, you know, versus who entertains being with me because of who I may be, you know, outwardly looking in. Would anybody show up to my birthday if I didn't pay for the birthday bash and everybody just show up? You know what I mean? Right. Like, and I really started dealing with that loneliness. Like, what is all of this about? And again, like you were in 2010, I sit here now and I go, I don't care. I don't care if I'm not at Mar-a-Lago rubbing elbows with like the who's who's, and I miss events and stuff like that, because not a single one of those things has led to any more happiness for me. And I heard somebody say, talking about value, I can't remember who it was, but it basically, whatever you think that number is, everybody's got a number. Like, I got to make this. And then if I make this, I have made it, right? Some people, that's like $1 billion. Some people, it's like $100,000. Everybody's got a number.
Yeah.
And they said, you will never, ever, ever be able to achieve the monetary value of what your life and your time with those people who actually love you means. Mm. But you will waste, and you will never get back the years that you wasted trying to achieve something that you'll never get to. And I think that that's so powerful that... And this is why I want to have these conversations, because even though we come from two completely different things, they're very in the public eye, spotlit positions where people would be like, oh, those are two very successful people. But yet we are echoing the same things. There was a point when you got to a point where you're like, this is not worth it, man. Mm-hmm. Like all this stuff is not worth it. And I'm at that point right now. And I hope I made the same amazing decisions that I'm going to ask you about here in just a second that you did once you got to that point. Where did you go to alter? Because there are some people listening that have had success. People are becoming successful earlier now because of the internet and all of the way that the world has changed. And there's a lot of people who are in their mid 30s who have in their minds reached this top, and now they don't know what to do. Is my life over? Have I peaked? Have I achieved all I'm going to do? Is it all downhill from here? When you reach that moment, when you realize that this was not worth it, I can't keep doing this pace because it's not what really matters. What did you do to change it?
That's powerful. No, it really is. That's a powerful story you just shared. I appreciate that. You know, I think a good example that, again, not to beat up on Justin Bieber, but that's a good example of someone that came into wealth at such a young age.
Yeah.
And then maybe, I don't even know what his story was, but maybe his career slowed down a little bit. I mean, it's hard to imagine because he's such a famous person.
You can't stay at the top forever. I mean, no, you just
it's
can't.
Impossible. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think what happens is that it's because that's our identity, you know, is that that's who I am.
There you go. Exactly.
Who I am is this, whatever your position is, you're finding all of your worth and your value in that.
Yeah.
One of my missions is to always tell people, I don't care if you believe in God. Do what the Bible says and see how your life goes.
Right.
And the reason is not so you can have all the benefits, but you will have the benefits, but so that you go, oh my gosh, that worked. Maybe that means this is true.
Yeah.
Maybe that means that if there's a God that actually said this stuff, and it's some of it's 2,000 years old, some of it's 4,000 years old, and it actually works. That, you know, that's one of the things I would like to convince people on if I can. One of those great many things is this: you're not identified by what you do for a living.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm.
You're not identified. Also, we can also bring this into the social sciences.
Men especially, put that in there. Yeah,
and there's something beautiful about the fact that men want to work. We have a drive to work, and that's good because work is supposed to be meaningful.
Yeah,
that's really wonderful. But it's all supposed to be meaningful in the, I guess you would say, in the context of a God who created you in order for you to be a little creator.
Yeah.
It's all for his glory. So right. You are supposed to find fulfillment in work, but not ultimate fulfillment. Mm. So for me, it was like, okay, we're going to be on the road. Again, some people listening might know my wife is in the band as well.
Yeah.
And I have kids on the road. And so I just was like, you know what? I just have to have time with my kids.
Yeah.
Every day. They're on the road with me, but I never see them.
Yeah.
I'm doing interviews. I'm doing this. I'm writing. I'm so busy. And so we just said, that's what we do every day. And so it might sound like a silly sacrifice to some people, because it's not the end of the world, but maybe just to give people a perspective of why this matters. When you're on the road and you're in a band, everywhere you go, you got to be on, you
right.
know, sort of like your job.
Yeah.
You can't meet somebody and be a jerk, because then they're like, oh, that guy thinks he's amazing. You can't have a bad day.
No.
So backstage, all the security guys are, you know, security guys are also rock fans, and they want to meet you. They want to take photos. It can just be that way. And so I said, every day I have to have this hour that I play with my son, and it's going to be an hour where that means I cannot do interviews.
Yeah.
So you're sacrificing that interview that, hey, John, we just got, you know, Rolling Stone wants to do it. Well, Rolling Stone doesn't care about Skillet, but so Billboard wants to do an interview with you. I'm like, dude, I can't, I'm at the zoo with my kids.
Yeah.
And you're doing that on a show day. So it's exhausting because you're busy. And so we began doing things like that, turning down money. It's a hard thing to turn down that money.
It is, especially when, you know, you don't come from money. And then you get it, and then you don't want to let it go because you're like, oh, wow. You find your, I love what you said. You find your identity in that, because me and Alyssa have talked about this a lot. I have really had to pray through this and still praying through this, you know, Lord, if I'm not, you know, in quotations, Graham Allen tomorrow, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
This is just me being honest in my own walk of this, is I've really had to figure out, you know, where is my actual value? Am I less valuable if I make $50,000 a year than I am if I make, I don't know, $100 million or whatever it is a year?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I really? Because this chase of success and this chase of living this dream and all this other kind of stuff, and showing people that you can do more, right? It morphed into, well, that's who I am now.
Yeah.
And I have to maintain that. And I have to, and now I'm kind of at the point where you said you were, I'm turning down speaking gigs. No, I don't want to fly or have to get across the country or whatever to California last minute because, you know, oh, they're going to pay you this money if you do it. No, I told my sons that we would watch the football game this Saturday. Mm. No, I'm not doing that. And it's realizing again, it's that comforting peace that doesn't make any sense of just realizing that you are more than this title or status that you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's so powerful hearing your stories echoing very much what the change that we've been going through on this show, because it seems to be every single person that achieves what anyone would deem as some sort of success seems to have that point that they get to. And the people that aren't rooted in some kind of moral compass or true values and beliefs, it just seems to destroy them. Mm-hmm. And people like you that did it the right way as best you could, you seem to be thriving in it. And so, I mean, where do you find, for those people that are searching for that comfort, I know the answer, but where do you find that peace in times of uncertainty of what's going to happen? And, are you going to be as successful this year? Is this album going to do as well as the last one?
Yeah.
Where do you find the peace in that?
Well, and that is a real stress. It is a real stress. We want to be successful.
Yeah.
We want to be competitive, no matter what the neo-Marxists say, competition is not a bad thing. Yeah. Competition is a good thing. It causes us to succeed and to try harder. I think that one of the interesting things, going back to something that Jordan Peterson always says, because you just said, talked about order. I mean, that's like his main thing. He talks about order. Probably that's the reason that some of what he said sounded so much like the Bible to me when I first heard him. Because to me, a lot of what religion is about, what Christianity is about, is God saying, I'm going to order your life.
Yeah.
Because you're in disarray. You're in chaos. You're all over the place. You're like, I don't know how to do it. Am I working too much? Am I not working enough? Do I want to get married? Do I want to get married? There's all this pressure. And I will say that we are living in an America right now that is far more disorderly than it's ever been, right? I mean, because we have no center, we have no moral center, which is what you just said. Moral chaos will lead you to depression. I mean, I'm getting off on a tangent here.
No, go.
But look,
yeah,
if you want to take the most influential thinkers of the last 200 years, and you want to look at Marx, you want to look at people like Wilhelm Reich, who wrote The Sexual Revolution, who's a Freudian Marxist.
Yep.
You want to look at Marcuse. You want to look at Foucault, who is sort of one of the fathers of postmodernism. Mm-hmm. Michel Foucault. Actually, Nietzsche is actually probably more the father of postmodernism, really. You look at all these people, they became madmen.
Yes.
The people around them killed themselves.
Yes.
Some of these people tried to kill themselves.
Well, even Jordan Peterson. I love Jordan Peterson to death, but he had like a mental break at one point just because he's such, as you said, such these critical thinkers that it's just constant all the time kind of thing. Even the good ones.
Yes. I mean, it is a battle. And what you end up looking at is a lot of this moral chaos leads you to despair.
Yeah.
It leads you to suicide. It leads you to medication. And so the great thing about Christianity, one of the great things, is that God says, hey, guess what? You don't need to stress about that anymore, because I'm going to order your life.
Yeah.
You follow the routine. And so you're finding your identity in me. You're not finding your identity in how good you are. In fact, that is a proposition of Christianity, is that you are not good.
Yeah, you're not.
It doesn't matter how rich you are. Doesn't matter the color of your skin, how much money you got. Male, female, slave or free, none of those things matter. You are not good. You need to be saved.
The heart's deceitful and wicked.
The heart is deceitful and wicked. So that is a proposition of it. And so it's a recognition of, I need help. I need someone to order my life. And then Jesus orders your life for you, and he gives you a moral center. And so the more you begin doing what he tells you to do, your identity is no longer found in your job, even though you enjoy your job more, because you're not doing it for your own ego. You're doing it to please the Lord. So it's like all of a sudden you might even be doing some of the same things, but the reason you're doing them has changed.
Yeah.
It's just like marriage. Anybody, Christian or not, will, if they had a bad marriage and now their marriage is good, they will pretty much say the same thing, which is, I finally realized it wasn't all about me.
Yeah.
I started saying, you know what, maybe I will give love rather than trying to
squeeze it out of her. And some things just do not matter. Like it doesn't matter, man. Like, why? Okay, who cares who's right and who's wrong? It doesn't matter. And I would yes, I think that is so amazing in the marriage thing, especially. And you know, everybody knows this. Talked about this in my book. You know this. Me and Alyssa almost lost her marriage because of me, because I was the idiot. And you know, I come from a broken home, and you know, which isn't an excuse. I still was the dummy and whatnot. But now here we are, fixing to be 14 years of marriage. You know, there's things that will happen to where I still remember back marriage year four, where I'd have been like, ah, you know, over that. But now it's just like, is it, you know, do we really want to mess up our entire day over things like this? And I think it's just maturing, and I love that. All right. I want to ask you some practical things for people before we end this out. Okay. Like I said, this episode is to give people things that they can latch onto, but then also give them some practical stuff.
Okay.
So you are a leader. You are. You're a leader, and especially in the business sense. As you said, it is a business. You have employees. You have people that you are in charge of. Two things for this. One, what does a normal day look like for John Cooper? Mm. All right? And then two, what would you say your leadership style is for your employees?
Oh, fantastic. All right. Number one. This has been key for me is, because I being on the road, you know, a lot of times people on the road stay up all night playing video games or much worse things.
Yeah.
And,
we'll leave it at video games.
We'll leave it at video games. And, you know, they get in bed at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. They sleep all day and they're used to being pampered. And we never did that, but also we don't have the luxury of doing that. I'm married. I've got my kids on the road as well. And so what I always told people when they say, what's it like to be on the road? I would say, Skillet is the most boring band you'll ever see on the road.
Yeah.
Because we're regimented.
Yeah.
And now I've found when I'm not on the road, I love it. You know, I don't sleep in all day long. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't sit around watching Hulu all day long. I go, I want to be a productive person. Here's the things we do. So the things that I do, I work out. Because if I don't work out, I just become a slob. I don't really know there's this like connection between the physical and the mental.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I like
it's to work. Accomplishing something.
Mm-hmm. It is something
you accomplish every day. Yeah.
And discipline is good.
Yeah.
Discipline is a really, really good thing. And all these things are tied together because God didn't create us to have like some sort of duality between the body and the mind or something. We are a whole person.
Yeah.
And so I work out and I always read my Bible, you know. I actually am I read constantly.
Yeah, so I'm an avid reader.
I do.
Yeah.
I read all the time. And so everything in my life is sort of regimented out. If I'm on the road, I always have a time when we do it. I have interviews. They're scheduled 12 to 2 every day or something of that nature. So it's a little bit like I get what I want to get done before my interviews.
Right.
And then after that, I usually have a little free time and I'll spend my free time hopefully doing something productive, you know. I mean, I watch TV and stuff too.
Yeah, yeah.
I read. And
there's nothing wrong with watching TV.
Of course, that sort of.
Moderation.
Yeah.
Yeah, those do some things I want to do. So if I'm on the road, my work will really begin at 4 o'clock.
Right.
Because I'm meeting people. I'm doing,
because you guys normally don't even start playing till 9 ish.
Yeah, that's
kind
right.
Of thing. Yeah.
Yes. Like when you come see us, we have, you know, you meet and greets and we have, you know, Q&As or this, that, the other. And so I just began, you know, now that my kids are older, I began having more free time to where they don't, you know, my son doesn't need me to sit and I read a book to him like he did when he was 4 or 5 years old, you know? And so now I've got this free time. And rather than sitting around, I just say, what is it that I want to accomplish in my life? What do I want to learn about? What can I help other people in that they don't understand the things happening in the culture right now?
Yeah.
And so I study that stuff quite avidly so that I can teach my kids as well. And again, I think going back to ordering your life, I mean, if you believe in the precepts of the Bible, then you say, all right, part of that ordering is that I'm supposed to be leading my wife. I'm supposed to be leading my family. I'm supposed to be training up my child. The Bible says, train up your child in the way they should go. And in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that's what you're supposed to teach your kids. So I do everything I can do to understand the times so that I can prepare. My daughter just started college.
Yeah.
And she's prepared. She knows radical gender theory. She knows critical race theory. You have to know postmodernism.
Yeah.
So when you're sitting in a class hearing something you've never heard before, well, A, I don't want it to be something you've never heard
right,
before.
Right, right, right.
That's what I meant to say. So you have something to come back. So those are the things I spend my time doing to make sure that I am being as profitable as I can for my kids. Mm-hmm. And so my style of leading, I don't know. You know, I always try to make sure that people, I always treat all of my employees the way I'd want to be treated, yeah. always. And that comes from a parable in the Bible. You know, there's a parable in the Bible where there's a really, really, really rich, you know, not a king, but someone like that. And there's someone that he loaned money to.
Yeah.
And the guy hadn't paid him back, and he calls him in, and it's like, you owe me a lot of money. A lot of money. It's on the line, and I'm a powerful guy. You need to pay up. And the guy says, I can't. I'm so sorry. Give me mercy. I can't. And the really rich guy says, you know what? I'm gonna give you mercy. I'll give you mercy because you know what? You don't need to pay. Your debts are forgiven for now. And then that guy goes out to someone who owes him a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And he punishes him, and he like full on, full law, full justice for the little bit of money. You know, in the Bible says that you're being wicked. You're not supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to treat other people with the grace that I've treated you. So it's a very important thing to me to treat my lowest paid employee as good as my highest paid employee, and so on and so forth.
Right.
And I always tell my guys, most of the people that work for me are not Christians, and they are not conservatives. Most of them are somewhere on the hard left to moderate, maybe moderate left. And I love that. And they know that I treat them this way because of my faith. And I always tell them that it's important that they represent me and the local people they meet. I don't want some local guy, some local security guy came to work the Skillet show and one of my employees treated them really poorly because they're nothing more than some local stagehand, and I can treat you bad because it doesn't matter. I'm like, no, that's not how we do things.
Yeah.
You're representing me even though you don't believe the things I believe.
Yeah.
So Skillet's got a tight-knit thing. Some people always think that maybe because I'm such a vocal Christian that everybody that works for me has got to think the way that I think.
Yeah.
And
same with you, same right? with me. Everybody, and I tell people all the time, I don't care. Like, but other people care for some reason with me. Like, but they think the same thing about me.
I think a testimony is that most of the people that work for me, I bet the median years is like 7 years. That is unheard of in the music industry.
Yeah.
Some of my employees have been with me nearly 15 years now.
Wow. You
know, not Christian, not conservative, not Republican, not agree, but we're close. We're friends. We love each other. We hang out with each other's families. I think that's a wonderful thing.
I think that's great. I think that's fantastic. I think it's a testament to who you are. I think it's a testament to what you and your family believe. And I just, man, thank you so much for, you know, not only being here, but also just putting some wisdom out there into the podcast universe there for everybody listening. Because I just, you know, it's cool to talk about the things that are happening every once in a while, but it's also really cool to bring people in that have achieved things in life and how they've done it and what they've realized along the way. So, man, thank you so much for being here. Where can people go to support you and find out what's going on? I know you said you're on a bit of a touring break here in the next couple of months, but where can people go to find out what Skillet's doing and support you and all that stuff?
Well, I appreciate that a ton. It's great to be here, and I appreciate all the people who listen to Skillet out there. And first thing you can do is listen to more Skillet. Just come on now. Tell somebody about this
music.
Just
put Spotify on repeat and just forget that it's playing. Just let it just go.
Podcast and Skillet.
That's right. So that's a good thing. If people do want to follow my podcast, it comes out every Monday. It's called Cooper Stuff. So go to the Cooper Stuff podcast. We talk about worldview quite a lot, philosophy and things like that. And Cooper Stuff, and then on social media, I am John L. Cooper. My website, johnlcooper.com. You can get my book on there. My new book is going to be announcing in the next few months. And so go check it out.
Awesome. Well, that's all we have for this episode. Everybody, make sure to go check out John, check out Skillet. And we hope that this episode brought you some encouragement. We hope that this episode brought you some insights. And most of all, we hope that this episode blessed you in some way. Thanks so much for listening. Do us a favor. Hit share. Send this to 5 friends. Give us a star. Not a star. Give us 5 stars. give us a comment. It helps us out. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll see you all again next time.